What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most, exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Who's right, who's wrong? Which show was right, which show was wrong about the performance of Dylan Gabriel? It has taken off. It's gone nuts. We said fair. Is that our official word for it for us?
Yeah.
Official show stance, fair? All of us in agreement.
All variations of, all right.
Fair. Do we all believe that Shedeur Sanders was better in his performance against Carolina? We go to Anthony Lima.
Mm-hmm.
We go to Owen Lottman.
I thought he was much more impressive.
Mitch, you
yes.
there? Okay, he says yes. I say yes as well. So official show stance, we believe Shedeur was better. But, and I'm going to put you on a spot here. I want to line up those two clips real quick, and then we're going to go to these phones here. Because we do have a difference of opinion. And I do think both can be accused. And certainly, hey, we throw stones because you could certainly throw stones at us. Nick, Jonathan, Jake, go right on ahead, guys. But I think there's a little bit of revisionist history here. Here is Nick and Jonathan on the interception, the pick six of Dylan Gabriel.
I thought Dylan Gabriel was fine on Saturday. And then I heard the analysis both on the broadcast. Joe Thomas had some very complimentary things to say. Nathan, at the end of the game, had some very nice things to say. Our morning show had some very nice things to say.
Yeah.
And it was left me thinking, like...
Did we watch the same thing?
Like, huh? Shedeur led three scoring drives and passed for two touchdowns. Not a perfect game, by the way. But in his bounty of work, never came close to a turnover. And everyone who said that last Monday was accused of going over and above in like deference to Shedeur. And then today I saw a quarterback in Dylan Gabriel who had two considerable turnovers, which I believe to be his fault exactly. It was bad ball placement from Dylan. It really wasn't on Pierre Strong. And then that throw was just Dylan getting stubborn and doing the thing he's not supposed to do. He's got the supercomputer, right? The super processor.
Mm-hmm.
That's the moment where he's supposed to shine and just throw the ball away.
I see what they say. I think that it was, I mean, you got two guys standing right there. You threw it at him. Guy made a great play on the ball. Their second round pick from Texas. His name is Skate Makuba. He made a great play on the ball. Took off with it. 75-yard pick six. I got Deontay Johnson accidentally standing right next to Blake Whitehart.
You got Deontay Johnson getting cut. If you want to see what getting cut looks like, it's that visual right there.
Well, I thought for sure, because we're so desperate for anybody, I thought he might be a shoo-in to make the team. Zach said, no. And Nathan and Joe aren't going to rip the guy on their own broadcast for crying out loud, so that wasn't going to happen. And I think I'll tell you this.
Since then, Dan Orlovsky went over the tape, said it wasn't his fault. Coach Riz, right? He went and looked at the tape, said it wasn't his fault.
Lance Risland, yeah.
And, I I'm not X's and O football guy, but... You know, part of being a quarterback isn't just, hey, a guy's open, now throw the football. Part of it is, hey, this is where the play is supposed to go. Let's throw the football where we have anticipation, maybe some chemistry that we think is building.
I mean, even if you got two guys standing there, you expect it to bounce off of one of their arms, not go right into the arms of the cornerback.
I think the last thing you expect is neither of the targets that are right next to the football to look at the football and go after the football or try to break up a potential turnover that cost your team six.
But a turnover, and even though I disagree with the never came close to a turnover statement that Nick had said about Shedeur, where I like Shador's play better. You know, I always have to couch that, by the way. You notice how that works? Because I think some
just
of us
just to make
have,
sure people hear the whole thing.
Well, because I think some of us have gotten used to the pressure that's on. And I think maybe that's why we went a little bit overboard a couple weeks ago. Fair. Guilty as charged as well. But when he says never came close to a turnover, nearly got picked off by the middle linebacker there, if I'm not mistaken. But here's Jake on the other side of that, where this, I got to say, there's one spot in particular I really disagree with Jake on overtime with Jake Volnick.
Fans use an evaluation, which in a lot of ways is the eye test, and just seeing, all right, well, was Shedeur, did he impress me more? Did I watch it and go, that's an NFL quarterback compared to watching Dylan play? And I think if you use that evaluation, Shedeur looked better. It's like, okay, he's making plays out of nothing. He's putting the ball on the money. He didn't turn the ball over. All those things worked. But I think the way that you know, NFL teams and the Browns specifically might evaluate a quarterback. Yeah, I think there was a lot more things to look at from Dylan to say this was cleaner football. But yes, the pick six, the turnovers, that aside, which I get, I'm not just throwing those away, but like you put those moments aside of, okay, a bad decision to throw the football and a miscommunication or a misstep from you on a handoff to Pierre Strong. He operated very quickly, which I thought Shador did too. Made good throws and eliminated a lot of the question mark plays that Shador had brought up on tape and Shador has consistently brought up on tape throughout his career. Like, when we hear Kevin talk, I mean, go back to last year. This is not a new philosophy that is just, this is what Kevin's applying for this season.
So I hear Jake, and when he says cleaner, I totally disagree with that. That's as dirty as you can get, fumbling handoffs. The questionable plays, if I were 100% in the Shador camp, like some of the Shador folks, I would knock that right away and say, well, I mean, Dylan Gabriel has played with the best of the best over the last 4 years, 3 years at least of his college career. Colorado, yes, you had Travis Hunter. It's debatable about whether or not he was a wide receiver or a cornerback and which one you would really play him at. But he's a very, 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 very good player. So we'll go with Travis Hunter there. Joe Horn Jr. was a very good wide receiver as well. There were a lot of guys that were transitioning into school by the time fall came around. And you also start off with a talent deficit where you started off taking over a 1-11 football team. Oklahoma and Oregon were in much better situations. Okay? But I'm not here to go over the past like a lot of us do. I don't need to look to the future. And as I look to the future, I can only go back to the last 2 weeks. Shador versus Carolina, Dylan Gabriel versus the Eagles. The Eagles are a better all-around franchise than what you have with the Carolina Panthers. Okay, you can mix that in. But damn it, still, I would take Shador's performance over Dylan Gabriel's performance. I think it's only fair to say, if we're all trying to be fair, the whole room, Owen don't see it through Brown's colored glasses. He ain't no excitable boy like me. You don't see it certainly like me. Whole room says that. Let's go to you guys. Which show was right? Which show was wrong? John in Cleveland. Hello, John.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, John. Go right on ahead.
So before I start, I haven't been able to listen in to you guys for a few months. I had moved out of town. Mama, you're a family man now?
Oh, yeah.
A few months. That's like 3 years.
Twilight Zone?
Things have changed.
Yeah, he's got kids and all, man.
I know. I was listening yesterday because I moved back and I got a day job. And I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. But anyway, I got to watch Shador play at Colorado. I'm 34. I did not get to see Deion play. I can't believe this is a debate. We were blessed to get him in the fifth round, especially with that contract with Deshaun. This is a chance for us to turn this thing around. I'm not going to knock Dylan because I don't know much about him. But what I will say is that Shador's first touchdown in the league is in triple coverage, and he did that in college consistently. This should not be a debate.
Well, John, because you just hit on it right there. This is what I have to fight. Because he may play later on this year, and he may show he has none of it, okay? We're not out of the woods with Shador Sanders, right? But I have to be willing to see that, John, because I feel the same way you do. I feel that this could be somebody dumped into our lap, and I'm going to be hopeful for him because I think he has a much higher ceiling than Dylan Gabriel. So if I think that, I'm hoping that we can find some way to luck into digging ourselves out of this hole that we've got into with the Deshaun Watson contract. I would love it to be that way. But I don't want, by the time like early November comes around or late October, I don't want to be sitting there denying the truth because I'm so desperate to get ourselves out of the hell that we've dug for ourselves.
We have so much to do. I'm perfectly fine with Flacco starting. Let him sit. Let him learn. But I'm with you. The ceiling is much higher. And my heart was in my stomach. I thought the Steelers were going to take him after we didn't. So the fact that we still got him, listen, let Flacco start. Let him learn. And let's get this thing going.
John, thank you very much for the call. Demos and Shaker, you're next up on the fan. Yellow, Demos.
Good morning. So as you guys know, I've stated on the air, I like both these young quarterbacks. And I honestly, when you ask who's right, which show, neither one of you are right yet because the sample size isn't big enough, Ken. You just brought up the whole notion that the Eagles' second string defense might be better than Carolina's starting.
I would imagine they are.
So,
but it wasn't it wasn't all starters. There was a handful.
No,
but
I get
fine.
It. No, I get
We're
it. I'm
here.
Just generally
I'm
speaking.
Hands. Okay.
Okay, yeah. But what I'm saying is, though, that for these two guys to have shown what we have, everybody should be optimistic and not worry about, you know, like who's going to come out on top. The best player is going to come out on top, and it's too soon to tell. So my biggest concern right now is getting Kenny Pickett on the field so we can get him as proper trade bait that he really is. Because that was the whole reason why when they picked Shador, I knew that's what was going to happen. So let's get Kenny Pickett out there and get something fifth or higher for him.
Well, I think by this time here, Demos, I think it's more realistic to maybe look at him maybe starting the season on the IR. I mean, we'll find out more later today. Maybe I'll be wrong. Hopefully I am, but damn it.
No, that way we can keep him on the roster, right, if he's on the IR. Yeah. But I don't want him.
Demos, it's so abrupt. I don't want him. I don't want him here. That's fair. 216-474-0092. Brent in Virginia, you're next up on the Fannies listening on the Free Odyssey. Go ahead, Brent.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hi.
It all depends on, between Gabriel and Sanders. It all depends on what you want out of a quarterback. For what I saw looking at both games and evaluating, and this, it wasn't that I was trying to look for mistakes. I was trying to look at the general characteristics of each player. Do you want a person who guns the ball downfield and forces it in, or do you want someone who likes to float it in and makes catching a ball like a bread basket case, like the one-handed catch that was done with Sanders? And so doing those plays, when I looked at them, I saw how do they evaluate getting out of trouble when trouble presented itself in blitz situations. Mm-hmm. And it appeared that Sanders was the better version of it, almost mimicking, I would say, Elway, if I had done a comparison. I don't want to say anything as far as y'all putting Watson in the comparison regarding with Gabriel, because I was seeing too much happy feet, too much rushing to where he was trying to impress with speed and force accuracy. So that's what I take out of it.
All right, so. Brent, thank you very much for the call. Yeah, even
an
going back
Elway
to what,
comparison.
Even go, oh, that's strong. Even going back to what Demos was saying, it is unfair. That's the only thing I have to go on. I can go off of one half and a little bit of Shador Sanders. I can go off of one half of Dylan Gabriel. That's all I have to go on with these guys. And I think that's probably going to be it until, obviously, that's going to be it.
Because
Kenny will probably play.
Well, did you read
a
into
full second
okay,
half?
I saw some people, by the way, reading into, because you're talking
reporters?
About. Yeah, you're talking about that game. I thought it was interesting. Some people mentioned that it was only posted in that press release, week one, the week one starter. Did you read anything into that? I didn't.
The punishment fit the crime. Back to Dylan Gabriel here in a moment. Tone, he has found satisfaction. They didn't get a chance to do it yesterday because we were going over just everything with the Browns. But you're satisfied with what was handed down from the NCAA, the toothless NCAA. They're gumming them there.
Oh, look,
shark on Jackass.
I think we all knew. Anybody that was paying close attention, sorry if you guys have a subscription to an Ohio State site, they were never getting a postseason ban. The NCAA is out of that business, I think. I don't think, unless you're Akron.
Put the safety back on.
Boy, that's so Jerry Tarkanian. Remember, that was his famous saying about what's going to happen if one of the blue bloods commits a crime or whatever, like, oh, Cleveland State, look out. Like, they are just getting out of the business of penalizing, you know, with postseason bans. All they're going to do is do what they did.
Well,
they're
going to
limit recruiting, which is hilarious, because if anybody's following recruiting, guys aren't even making visits anymore. Like, they are like, how much can you pay me? Okay, I'm committed.
Talk to my agent. I think altogether it's, what, around $40 million in fines they'll end up paying? Which, again, I think a lot of teams would pay $40 million for a national championship. The Akron situation about it, it does seem unfair. I'll just say this as an Akron alum, why I wouldn't make it mention of it at all, is I hate to say it, one guy is still a coach and one guy isn't. Jim Harbaugh has moved on, and Joe Moorhead's still there. So you got to pay the fiddler while it's there, and
I do believe
that one is
a left. If Harbaugh hadn't left, I do wonder if there could have been a more substantial ban, but he had left. And the players are gone. Finally, the NCAA is doing the right thing, by the way. It's not these players' fault. And I said the same thing when Jim Tressel, when they got hampered with their NCAA investigation. Same thing with Urban Meyer. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Jim O'Brien on the basketball side. Like, these players, it's not their fault. So finally, the NCAA has gotten it right. It just so happens that, you know, if you're an Ohio State fan, you're like, why couldn't that have been the punishment when we were accused of all the stuff we were accused of?
Yeah, and I think, the NCAA is going to go after those who really don't have the firepower to go back. Akron football didn't have the firepower to go back. Michigan would. I think that they decided on something that was really gummy at best, not really fighting it. But, again, there's the weird stink on it forever where a Michigan fan will tout their national championship. And hey, we live in the real world. So national champions are national champions. You don't got nothing to apologize for.
We all saw it.
But you also live.
They celebrated it. We watched it.
But you hardcore Ohio State fans and Michigan fans, which I'm a part of neither fan base really. You guys all think I'm full of it. I'd be much closer to being an Ohio State fan than I would be a Michigan fan, but whatever. Lyman's got you brainwashed of all things. Both of you fan bases live in the same world. You have to deal with being told that for the rest of your lives. And you can say it doesn't bother you. You'll still have online fights. You will still block each other and cuss each other out and show each other your text messages, and you'll still do it over this penalty. Guarantee you do. Guarantee it. I've already seen it from the because they know I'm a neutral party. I got my Ohio State buddies. I got my Michigan buddies. And they will send them to him. And I go, yeah, you guys are living in the same world. So justice in some way, even though it's not going to be served by the NCAA, because again, it's toothless. This is as served as it gets. That, yeah, you did something wrong, but you still had to win the football games. Michigan can fight it. Ohio State can go after him. I think Ohio State fans were upset that they didn't get the book thrown at him. Sorry, guys. It was a different NCAA when Jim Tressel got in trouble. It was an NCAA that had power. It's an NCAA that had influence. It was an NCAA that wasn't being sued by Ed O'Bannon and everything else. Like, they had that power. They don't anymore. And when Michigan did it, they don't have power. You can go ahead and do it. You can go ahead and steal all the signs you want. You just better hope Ryan Day goes on to the NFL. But you won a national championship, and as far as I know, you didn't seal any signs.
I have to give Michigan credit for winning the games that Harbaugh got suspended, and once they were put on notice, I imagine the sign stealing
suspended on the tarmac for crying out loud.
I imagine the sign stealing was, you know, they had already been done, obviously, but you know, they were on their P's and Q's at that point. They still won those games. So I will give Michigan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from.
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots. He scores.
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media. And use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Credit for that? I think their penalty is and will always be that the stigma of their championship. You can't write a national championship book without the scandal. Even if you're a reporter in Ann Arbor or in Detroit, you can't. If you're a Michigan alum, if you do another documentary, it's going to include Connor Stallions. It's going to include the suspension of Harbaugh. And let's face it, Michigan fans, you guys champion that. You champion overcoming the odds, even though they're odds that you produced. Like, you champion it. It's part of your story. So don't act like it's not. Don't act like the scandal isn't always going to be brought as part of it in the sign stealing. And you know what? Like we mentioned, you know, New England will always have one of their Super Bowls. Oh, the deflated footballs are always going to be brought up. The difference is they were able to come back and win more Super Bowls. You know, Michigan probably won't. We'll see. They got a great quarterback now. They do. They have a much better situation than they did last year. Think they're winning the championship this year?
It just depends on what they want to do. They're still one of those organizations or still one of those programs that lie to themselves and want to sit there and talk about academics. Once they start to actually tell the truth to themselves, maybe they'll give themselves a chance. And I say that as a respectful thing to Ohio State, to Alabama. USC, for whatever reason, just doesn't get it. Or they just bought in on an overrated coach, one of those two things. Like, there is a part of, I can respect you. Yeah, I think Ohio State's still a really tough school to get into and a really good school. They also have an elite football program. And I'm sure that some of the guys that got in on the elite football program maybe don't have the same SAT scores as some of the other guys. I don't give a damn. You're still elite at something now, aren't you? And you still won a national championship, and those guys get paid a hell of a lot of money. And I don't care, because it's about entertainment more than it's ever been. So if Michigan still wants to lie to themselves about what type of program and institution they are, then fine, go right on ahead. Well, but you're going to eventually start losing Ohio State again, and you won't be winning national championships, and you'll put Sherrod Moore on the hot seat.
It's just part of it is, and we can't deny, like, Michigan has always, especially when they were losing, they put themselves on a pedestal. Like, we're not willing to get down in the mud like they do at Ohio State. Like, I know those SEC schools and Cam Newton taking six figures, allegedly. We're not going to do that at Michigan.
You wouldn't say that if you weren't bothered by it.
But then when you do it, you can't be surprised when people throw that back at you, which is exactly what happened.
You wouldn't say that if you weren't bothered by it. That's why I love bothering SEC fans so much. It just means more. Well, apparently it doesn't mean enough because you don't have the wherewithal that the schools up north have where they've won back-to-back national championships. Like, hey, I love how the SEC is going to win another national championship sooner and later, but I love how much them and even their media are freaking out over the Big Ten. That was fun to get into for just a second. All right. Which show was right? Which show was wrong about Dylan Gabriel? 216-474-0092. Josh and Berea, you're next up on The Fan. Hello.
Hi. Yeah, what's up, fellas? Long time no speak. But I think no one's right. I don't think we should really be doing this whole, like, oh, you guys, you know what? You're not being fair to Dylan Gabriel. You know what? You don't want to see Shador shine. See, guys, the Browns are going to go 5-12 or whatever it is now with the extra game. Like, we're not going to be good. Like, just let these guys go out there and play, you know what I mean, whenever the time comes. Because I remember not so long ago, because Ivan made a great point. Let's stop acting like we're football guys here, okay? We like talking about it because we can't do it. You know what I mean? It's easy to be armchair quarterback.
Ken can throw a football, and he made that clear.
Some guy blocked me over it yesterday.
Over how you throw a football?
He said, I can't throw a football. And I'm like, yo, I throw a football every day, which I do. And apparently that wasn't. These are weird times to be a Browns fan. There, Owen, we are in trying times. Go right on ahead, Josh.
We are. So my point is, there was a guy not too long ago here, and everyone, football dudes, Lima, Ken, telling me he sucks. He's not a good quarterback. No one wants him. And I think
Who sucks?
Oh, Baker Mayfield. Come on. We all said it. Let's not act like we didn't say it.
He sucked his final year with the Browns, and in Carolina he sucked. No, yeah. He's not sucking anymore.
All I'm saying is he doesn't suck anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Would it be nice to still have that guy and giving him a chance? So let's not do the same crap with these guys, okay? They're late-round picks. Joe Flacco's going to start. We'll see how the first 6 weeks go. But to be like, especially hearing Nick, the king of talking out of both sides of his mouth. I mean, the same guy that was okay with Baker Mayfield being pushed out of town, and as soon as Deshaun Watson looks like crap, he's like, you guys did Baker dirty. It's like, oh no, that's not what we heard out of your mouth there, Nicky
Ooh,
boy. Back.
Ooh, okay, not, getting a little too tight here. Getting a little too tight, Josh. Come
I'm
on.
Saying, I hear.
Well,
I
you can call you him up
credit.
And yell at them. You can call him up and yell at them.
I'll give you guys credit. You at least don't talk out of both sides of your mouth.
Well,
you
we
at
try
least,
not to.
Hey, I was wrong. My bad. I freaked out over mustaches. And, you know, Lima claims he's not a football guy anymore, but when Baker was in town, he had all the advanced analytics to tell you he stinks.
Good point.
So, you know, but you, at least you guys stand by it.
All right.
That's all.
Josh, thank you very much for the call. Nick does seem to be really warming up towards Shador. Nick was very skeptic towards Shador. And it seems to be changing. Of course, Shador's played well. So who am I to call out Nick? We always have, as you say, Lima, we always have the benefit of what? New information.
Yeah, just the hard part for me is there's just so very little football. We've been in camp for
I can only go on what I saw.
And there's just so little because they divided the reps. And we got, what? How much of a preseason game do we have with Shador? And that's all we got.
Almost three full quarters.
Yeah, but that's just so little.
Well, more than we got from Dylan Gabriel, and then he was shooting his mouth off after halftime. So,
well, that's because the media got to him so quickly. The entertainers got to him.
I'm getting more and more bothered by that as time goes on. Just shouldn't have said it.
Like,
why did he need to say that?
Shouldn't spring football be more of a thing now with guys like this in these situations? What? So that we have more to see? We just had so little to see.
So now you want spring football leagues?
Something to see more. By the way, you know.
Because I just won't call that real football either.
But you know the NFL, if they could sell tickets to it.
Yes,
if they could get a TV deal for spring football for even this, to see third and fifth round draft picks in a quarterback conundrum.
Doesn't matter, though, because you're still going to get the same people saying, hey, man, all you're sitting there doing is playing against guys who are going to be delivering Instacart later. So it doesn't matter. You'll still hear that in the spring like we do in the preseason. So it ain't going to help nothing. Jim in Strongsville, you're next up on the fan. Hello.
Hey, guys. Listen, at the end of the day, we're debating on a third-round pick and a fifth-round quarterback pick. They both look competent. That's all you can really ask for. I think the bigger takeaway from this thing, right? I don't think either of them are the future. And so I think if we're going to sit here and say, because I think some people really have a convinced, Shedeur Sanders, he has a one-in-a-million chance of being the future of this team. I don't think he is, maybe, but probably not. So what I would say is the biggest thing to take away from this preseason is that we've seen bad preseason football in the past. This is some of the most competent preseason football I've ever seen out of this team. And honestly, it's kind of changed my mind about Kevin Stefanski and the kind of team that he's put together and the kind of organization that he's running, because we've seen embarrassing preseason football, especially when you put rookies out there, and these guys flat out just have not looked, they haven't embarrassed themselves. They've looked fully competent. They've been good. They've been fine. What do you want? What are you going to take away from two preseason games? I'm just saying we're debating this like these guys, like we took them both in the top 10, and we didn't take them in the top 10. We took them where we took them. They're long shots at best. So let's just be happy that we have competent football.
Yeah.
There is no doubt that Shedeur has been treated like a first-round draft pick. And Dylan Gabriel is probably being treated like, what would you say?
By who?
By anybody talking about the differences in these QBs,
Jim, thank
how
you.
how we are breaking down every throw,
because I think
stats
we're just talking,
in camp.
But all I've heard for the last two calls is, guys, don't talk about this. It's a sports talk show. This is what we do on a sports talk show. So you don't even want to hear it talked about now, as a listener.
No, you want to hear it.
Well, that's not what the callers are saying.
I do think so.
They don't want to hear it.
They don't want to hear about it.
They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about it.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
They don't want to hear it.
I do think,
and we just sit there and let it go.
I do think the fact that this is fracturing the fan base during preseason.
Mad. Oh, it's mad.
I'm a little hot at it, not just the collars.
It is a little ridiculous.
Well, say, hey, you got a mic. Say what you want to say. Say it again.
Pay attention to what they're saying, because they're saying don't talk about it.
Yell at the callers.
They're saying don't talk about it.
Well, how are we not supposed to talk about it?
I don't want
to
yell at your boy.
Well, you do have to come
over. We're going to have Josh on
you have to formulate a depth chart.
5 minutes for him to finally get to his point. Guys, when you call in, have your point and ready to go.
I do think that you have
to start screening better, start being better hosts. Let's go.
You do have to
talk. It's football season.
You do have to talk. The depth chart, that's fine. I think it's a little weird to sit there and go after anybody who says, hey, this guy, I thought he was good. I know he was terrible. Like, nobody was terrible. Dylan Gabriel was fine. I thought Shedeur was a little better. I don't think you have to come on the air and lie about one to prop up the other. And I think there's a lot of that going on.
I think it's as easy as if you had to bet your house on either quarterback being successful, which quarterback would you bet on?
I mean, I wouldn't bet either. I wouldn't.
If you had to bet your house on either quarterback to be successful, which quarterback would you bet your house on?
I would go in witness protection program.
If you had to bet your house, which one would you bet your house on?
That's my level of confidence.
Be a man and answer the question.
Anthony, which quarterback's lemonade stand would you go to?
I'm going to go wherever Ellen DeGeneres and Rosie O'Donnell are.
Where did they go?
I'm not here.
Real quick, I know we addressed Quinshon Judkins before. It's a very interesting case where he is now, charges are dropped, but they're clearly something happened. He is not signed. According to Adam Schefter, it seems that the Browns may wait until we get to what, Tone? We get to a critical mass of where it's the NFL decides to step in and make their investigation known?
Look, the Browns could. They just could sign him right now if they wanted to. I said earlier in the show, I do think they're now using this as leverage, you know, to get a better deal for them. I think, you know, it's unfortunate that any of this happened or we had to get to this spot, but let's be honest here. Like, now they are trying to get the best deal they can for the team, and he is a running back, and he hasn't been there. And they got another running back that's getting carries. They got another running back that had another explosive run. So, you know, it works against Judkins completely, and there probably is going to be a suspension. You know, in the Bond situation, there, I don't think there will be now at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think there will be a suspension with Judkins because his situation is different. I think there is the thought that, all right, there was an altercation that happened here. He's saying it was self-defense.
Well, when you're suspended for these things, are you paid or not paid? Aren't you not paid for those suspensions?
Well, it depends. Like, when you go into the commissioner's exempt list, which is normally what happens when you're under contract, mm-hmm. and the league has decided, all right, we're going to be fair here. You are going to basically be suspended with pay, and then we'll litigate the process and look at it when it's all said and done. What's so weird here is that he just was the one guy that didn't sign. And I don't think we'd had a situation like this before in the NFL under their new way of doing things and new CBA.
So let me ask you this. So if it becomes like I would imagine he wants something fully guaranteed, right? Do we go under that assumption?
I think that was where he was arguing before this all happened. I wonder if his ask has come down. I don't know.
But their want to give him something has come down even lower?
Well, and how many games is he going to play this year?
That's what I'm asking.
Plus, he's already behind the eight ball big time.
But that's why I'm asking you the question, because if it's guaranteed, does that roll into a signing bonus? Mm. Like, does his agent want to protect him no matter what? Hey, this was done. This is a done deal now. These charges were dropped. The NFL is going to have their say about it. There's going to be suspension, but we stand that we did nothing wrong, and that you're going to have to pay him no matter what.
It's all in play. I also wonder, and they got to be careful here, and he has to be careful as well. You don't want bad blood to start to be established all because of an agent negotiation with the team, and that does happen from time to time. And the fact is that he can't go out there right now and prove to them that, hey, I'm worth every penny. I'm a guy you can get behind, even if they believe his side of the story completely, right? Independent of the NFL investigation. I don't know. Maybe there's a polygraph involved here. Like, there was a polygraph involved for, I'd say, but I don't know. But, you know, the Browns, they basically punt this investigation to the league. And while that's still ongoing, how do the Browns feel about the whole situation? Did he tell them the truth from moment one? I don't know. I don't know what those discussions have been throughout all of this, but you do wonder at times, could there be a breach of trust or whatever? I don't know. There's a million.
Well, clearly, there's
a million things that could happen.
And it's even worse for the organization. Nothing against, it sounds like I'm rooting against him, but man, every single time Trevion Henderson makes a play, he had the kickoff return. He had the great play in camp the other day, 75 yards.
People are acting like they already messed up the pick, that they picked the wrong guy. It's like, we can't know that.
If he's not available, how can I say they got the pick right?
Right now, it looks bad.
Yeah.
It could look very different.
Real bad.
8 weeks from now, it could look totally different.
I certainly hope so, because if he's suspended for six games, eight games, 10 games, whatever it might be.
Yeah, but I don't think
good
be
God,
that
if he's suspended for 10 games, that's most of the season. What are you going to really get back?
I don't know. At this point,
I would like to say I don't know either, but remember
Mike
during
Hall was how many games?
But during Deshaun Watson's, it was five, but they ran it back with time. Sounds weird, but time already off. When it comes to Deshaun Watson, remember, he was out for 11 weeks, but there was a period of time he wasn't even allowed in the building.
Yeah.
So if you're not even allowing, if they might not even allow Quinshon Judkins in the building, that's more time that I have to wait. Like, that's why I'm looking at this year and I'm going, man, it's hard for me to say without knowing what the NFL is thinking. It's hard for me to call this anything other than a wash. So they better get together on something. But if you're the Browns, do I really want to get together with you on a deal where if your agent's playing hardball, we can't offer something fully guaranteed? I got to wait to see what the NFL does. I don't know if they care that much about optics. Doesn't seem to be.
Well, they have to sign him either way. They can't let him go unsigned this year.
No.
Or because they just lose. Again,
they would lose out on him at that point.
They're
not going to do that.
Being another disaster for him.
So it doesn't matter if they sign him before or after. From a fan standpoint.
I think it's always better to sign a guy before and get him in camp and get him going. But I imagine if he were. I mean, when Mike Hall was exempt, he was allowed to practice, wasn't he?
I believe so until the actual suspension came out.
I want to say he was allowed to practice. And
yeah, because there was a big problem about why was he in the building or not. Because
that one game he came in and he played like all four quarters.
Yeah.
He played most of that game, all of it.
Yeah. They knew he was out.
He played all of it. So I don't know what Quinshon Judkins is going to have to do. But it's like, man, it's just another knock because if you don't have much of a running game, and again, you're going to need that running game. You're trying not to turn the ball over. So Joe Flacco, as strong as an arm as Joe has, I mean, Joe has a propensity to turn the ball over. He's not as accurate as he was when he was younger. That's why you got a chance to get him at 40 years old. He's a good football player, good leader. There's still a little bit of life left in the arm and a little bit of life left in the body. Not very much, but to get the best out of him, I need a running game. If I don't have a running game, good luck.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.